wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Today's challenge. My messages are distinctly evangelistic, and this one shall be no exception. But I must first call upon all my fellow Christians to face with me certain world situations that should challenge every heart that beats true to Christ. We must brush aside the consoling appearances of Christian success. Christianity has more church houses than ever before, but within many of them, the congregation is as dead as the stones without. There are more college-educated pastors, but thousands of such deride the Bible and deny the glories of our Lord and Savior. There are more missionaries, but many are but salesmen of their church group and not proclaimers of the gospel of Christ. Brushing these shams aside, we face the facts. In the last 50 years, in your lifetime and mine, the great army of Christ has suffered defeat and shame, and another army, strong and mighty, God-defiant, Christ-hating, Bible-despising, and deriding the principles of righteousness and honesty, has swept over the world, conquering nation after nation. In the early days of Christianity, a dozen common men championed the cause of Christ, and the results were amazing as those apostles of our Lord began to take Asia and Europe for Christ. Later, as the testimony of Christ fell back, God raised up a few men called reformers, and again a real victory for Christ swept the world in the great Protestant movement. Years of mingled defeat and victory followed until our generation of Christians. We were left the greatest heritage of Bible truth and freedom of religion to proclaim the gospel. And so we thought our success was so certain, we rested in the path of ease. But while we slept, the enemy, the devil, gathered his army together. He disciplined them and obtained their loyalty to his party. He set up his God-defiant creed, sneering at righteousness and praising iniquity. We learned about this, but slept on for 50 years. Now, as the warning trumpet sounds, we awake to find what? While we slept, communism, godless, Christless, Bible-hating communism, has captured the world. Never did a generation of Christians lose so much of the world battlefield as we have lost. Instead of pride, we should be the humblest generation of Christians that ever were on earth. What shall we do now? Shall we hope to die and leave to our children a lost battle for them to be the spoil of the enemy? Or shall we pray our Lord to hurry and come again and catch away his defeated soldiers? Or shall we rise to meet the challenge, gird on our heavenly armor, deny ourselves in real self-sacrifice, and fight the good fight of faith, enduring hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we might regain the lost battlefield and the people of the world to our God and to his Christ? Every real Christian must wholly devote himself to the cause of Christ, or else defeat will continue until evil shall triumph over righteousness and sin shall stamp out godliness in the earth. And who will be to blame? You know, everyone who lives for self and not for Christ, who is seeking money and not souls, who chooses ease and comfort instead of suffering and hardships. The Christian life is a fight and not a feast. Today the battle is set, a real life and death struggle. Who will survive? It isn't between the free world and communism, as some think. It is a spiritual conflict between the forces of Jesus Christ and the devil. But let us be clear on this matter. As Christians, we are not fighting the communist. We seek his precious soul for Christ. We are fighting that diabolic system that has deluded him, communism. Just as we do not fight the heathen, but heathenism, not the infidel, but infidelity. A little handful of brave warriors is marching out with a gospel banner to win the world to Christ. They're the faithful missionaries, radio evangelists, street preachers, and the like. But the church lets them fight on alone with no funds or fellowship. The Bible protests, saying, "Who goes to war for it? A warfare any time at his own charges." Yet the church ignores their needs and carouses in church carnivals, gluttonizes at church suppers, relaxes in air-conditioned church houses, and sleeps on padded pews while spending their collections on her charming pastors and portals. What does all this add up to? The international outlook is as dark as night, but the spiritual outlook is darker still. As the midnight cry is made, the church members will sleep on, but the really born-again Christians will be stirred to action. But will they be so moved they will put all they have and are into the gospel work? If so, the victory will be ours, for a God-fearing, self-sacrificing army, willing to suffer the loss of all things for Christ their Lord, will march on to victory. But if not, then we shall fall back before men who are more devoted to their party than we are to Christ. As the early Christians faced a hostile world, they cried, "We ought to obey God rather than men." In the world of today, charming preachers carry on their church revivals to gain additions to their church rolls, but out on the highways and the airwaves, true evangelists are preaching Christ and calling upon men to repent of their sins, for our God is a holy God, and to surrender to Jesus Christ as their Lord, to obey and serve Him, and to entrust themselves to Him alone as their Savior. This is my message to you, neighbor. Those early preachers like Peter and Paul were all out for Christ, hazarding their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus. They faced jails and beatings, stoning and death for the one who died for them. And when offered freedom, if they would turn, they stood firm, crying, "We ought to obey God rather than men." God came first. His kingdom had their first allegiance, and His gospel the first place in their hearts. This was real Bible, New Testament Christianity. No wonder it waged the battle so gloriously. They preached Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and called upon men to make a complete surrender to Him, to be His, and to do His will. Their gospel was not the sugared-down, easy way of our modern churches. Was the convicting and converting message of the Holy Spirit that smote men's conscience, troubled their souls, and challenged their wills. The apostolic gospel cost the preachers of it their heads, and those who believed it, their homes. They preached the cross, and they had a cross to bear. They pointed to their risen Lord, and with their living Lord, they walked through flood and flame. Neither the lions nor the burning stake made them deny their Lord. The more they suffered for Him, the more they loved Him. They believed that to them it was given not only to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for His sake, as the Bible says. Their enemies gathered in arenas to scorn them as the lions tore them to pieces, but their love for their Lord unto death shone so brightly, many of their persecutors were converted. Neighbor, I maintain that the modern Christianity is only a sickening sham. It isn't worth dying for, and it's no good to live by. But Bible salvation has lost none of its value. Years have not tarnished it, nor is it out of date. So let us return to it. The Word of God offers eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. There is the key word, obey. That means a surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Master, a decision to do His will and to obey His Word. Without this, there's no salvation. When people get converted that way, one thing directs their course of life. It is, "What will please my Lord? What does He tell me to do?" On the Damascus Road, Paul surrendered to the Lord Jesus as he cried, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And that was the rule for all his future life. He had given himself to the Lord to be His and to do His will. Neighbor, have you this real Bible salvation? Does your heart beat true to Christ as the one you love and live for? Wherever Paul went, he so preached Christ Jesus the Lord that he could write to those converted under his ministry and say, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Their daily life was to manifest their complete submission to him as their Lord. Such real converts were sealed with the Holy Spirit, and he led them in paths of obedience. He gave them boldness and testimony and power and service. By his word, the Bible, he called upon them to devote their bodies, their talents, their possessions, yes, all they were and had, to the service of the Lord and to the spread of his gospel. Today the world admires the way that communists obey and serve their party. The world is so impressed, it does not realize that it has only seen the devil's counterfeit of real Christianity. What is needed today is for all real Christians to show the world the reality, not the imitation, by self-sacrificing devotion for our Lord Jesus Christ, in untiring and loving service for our adorable Lord, and a fearless zeal to spread the gospel of Christ the world around, facing danger and death to bring salvation to a lost humanity. Now, neighbor, would you choose to be a part of such a testimony, a display of reality that will meet the challenge of world communism and make it fade off the stage as only the sham, the devil's imitation? If you will, then you must be converted as the apostles preached, by first repenting of your sins before God, renouncing your covetous, selfish life, turning away from the hustler swine to eat and from being a greedy hog yourself. Second, you must surrender yourself to Jesus Christ as your Lord, to be his and to do his will. Third, since God only gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him, for you to thus receive the Holy Spirit as your Lord, to take over the complete control of your life. In all this, the key word is obey. Is it any wonder that those early Christians met the challenge with these words, we ought to obey God rather than men? Neighbor, my Lord is today gathering his forces together to regain the lost battlefield. The challenge goes forth. Who is on the Lord's side? Will you answer today, Lord Jesus Christ, I will be thine to do thy will and to submit to the Holy Spirit's control of me. What wilt thou have me to do? Thus today's challenge will be met to the glory of God and the honor and victory of the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. These are messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.